Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Őszolgabíró úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hey, what's going on there, sexy people? This is the Gaming Beast. This is episode 14. And, yeah, we are gonna talk about some stuff, as usual, on this day. And, what are we gonna talk about? CF introduced me to this weird indie game called Milk. Milk, with an apostrophe, I guess. And, it's an interesting game. It's very, just like how you play it is very different. Like, you start up the game and there's this little screen popping up. You know, it's like a little window screen. And you see a little spaceship fly through space, and it looks kind of like a Game Boy game, kind of like the brick, you know, like this green gray kind of color. And it has the same kind of feel, but the thing is, you don't control the ship itself, because there's another little screen with the same color, and there's like space, but there's these little bottles. And what you have to do is, you have to move the other screen so that the ship can fly through the screen and grab the bottle. Okay? That sounds pretty easy, but after a while it gets really hard, because wherever the screen is, you'll have to like put the screen to the other side, and it gets complicated and everything. It's really weird, a weird game. I could do it a couple of times and then I would die, so it's like a game with the highest score, I think. I'm not sure you can play it through. It's just one of those things, weird things. CF has a sixth sense of finding really weird indie games. Like, that's kind of his thing. You should really check out Tiger Claw Radio and watch his YouTube shows. He really knows his stuff when it comes to indie games. I mean, for a long time before he got his new PC, he was only able to play indie games and, you know, these old school DOS games and whatever. And yeah, it's an interesting game. There's not much more to say about it. You know, it's just like, go and try it. Also, I played a little bit of Alone in the Dark 2. I finished Alone in the Dark 1 years ago, and it was really fun. It's a really good game. Very good. The earliest survivor horror game on the PC. Some people call Sweet Home the earliest survival horror game. I'd say, yeah, there's some good reasoning behind that. But Alone in the Dark was the first one where it was like third person, and it had the fixed camera angles with pre-rendered backgrounds, which was supposed to be which would be the template that Resident Evil and Silent Hill would follow. Although Resident Evil went quite in a different direction, and now it's like the camera follows them. I don't know, I always liked the fixed camera angle, because it kind of, people said, you know, you control weirdly, and you know, when the camera angle changes, it's weird and it's not good, and it's supposed to be unnerving. I mean, obviously it was a technical limitation, but I think it's very unnerving when the camera angle changes. Although I think a really good horror game, horror survival game, is like Amnesia: Dark Descent, because it's in first person. And you're not able to fight back. I mean, you have to run away when you see the monster. And usually you don't even see the monster, you just hear stuff that freaks you out, because you're not able to defend yourself, you know, and you got vision and stuff. And that's a game I really need to play through. I played some of it, and it was just really freaking me out. I did a let's play of it, but it wasn't so good. I might re-record and make a new one, take down the old one, because my voice was just too quiet. Anyway, that's Alone in the Dark 2 for you. Also, I've been checking out the Mutant Chronicles role-playing game. If you haven't noticed, known, Mutant Chronicles is a role-playing game set in a weird future world, which is very dark. It's set in our solar system. Solar system Earth has been ravaged and, like, used up all the resources. And, yeah, so all the resources have been used up, and there's different, a couple of big corporations. There's like no nations anymore, there's only corporations, and they have traveled to different planets, the inner planets, and they've terraformed those planets and to make them habitable, which in many ways is kind of also impossible, because they also terraform like Mercury and Venus. Well, Mercury, they go underground, so, okay, that's a little bit different, but Venus becomes this jungle planet. Kind of how people thought about it before they knew it. It's like a place of smoke. But, it's, you know, it's science fiction, and it's very, like, out there science fiction, so it's okay, it works. And it's kind of a really neat world, because it has, you know, it's science fiction, but there's also magic, so it's kind of across. You know, when you first look at the art, the first thing that pops to mind is Warhammer 40K, and some might consider it a ripoff, because they also did a war game. When I first heard of Mutant Chronicles, the first time I heard about it is I read about it in different role-playing and war game magazines and in websites when they were advertising it. And, fucking bug here. Go away, bug. Anyway, and it was quite an interesting game. I really liked the look and feel of it, even though it is somewhat like Warhammer 40K. It still has its own feel, because it stays very strictly in the solar system. And humans are fighting kind of a undead, evil, demonic kind of scourge, the Dark Legion or something. So the corporations have to, like, they made a cartel to have, like, a very flimsy treaty, kind of, like, that they fight together against them. But it's more like they fight each other all the time, but it's more like when the Dark Legions are really kicking their asses. And the Dark Legions are in the outer planets of the solar system, like, beyond Mars, you know, after the asteroid belt. You know, the gas planets, and I'm guessing they're on the moons and shit. I don't know that exactly, but I knew it better back in the day. Never actually bought any of the war games or role-playing games, but I've been reading up on that now, and I'm kind of interested. Might try to do a campaign in there. Would be interesting. I'm guessing it would be a very fighting-focused war game, but there could be a lot of elements of role-playing, because the cartel is basically, what they do is they bring their Doom Troopers, which is kind of a squad of the best fighters of all the different corporations, who then as a team they fight the Dark Legions and do missions, and in hopes of finally beating the Dark Legion and freeing humanity of the Scourge. But in a way, it also keeps humanity of killing themselves through constant warfare. There's also a big element of that there's very little resources, and the corporations control those resources. Earth has been entirely sacked of resources, and it's like a desert, it's like a destroyed place and shit. It's like nobody wants to go there anymore. It's became the ghetto of the solar system, even worse. It's not even the ghetto, it's like the like the trash heap of the solar system or something like that. Anyway, so they use their tech to, like, terraform places, even like the moon and shit, so it's kind of interesting. It has some hard science elements, but then it has some very crazy elements, like terraforming Venus. Like, terraforming Mars could be possible, but it would take a long, long time. And that's also just a big, big maybe, you know. Anyway, so how do I tie this in into video games? is that there was a that there is a Mutant Chronicles video game for the Super Nintendo of all places, and it's a basically a run and gun game like Contra, and it's actually not bad. It's very gory and over the top gory, and you fight the different Dark Legions, and you can choose between two characters. I have to play it again to see now, because I've read up on the corporations, but I'm guessing they're from two different corporations. One is a guy with two smaller guns, machine guns, pistols. Another guy is with a big rifle, very much Warhammer 40K looking, but I think I like that kind of stuff, so that's pretty cool. And there isn't no Warhammer 40K or even a Warhammer game for Super Nintendo. There is, of course, a bunch of Warhammer games for the PC, which makes sense, because they're obviously more the best games you can make out of those are strategy games. Although there has been also some shooters released for Warhammer 40K, and also, of course, Warhammer Online, which makes sense. I heard Warhammer Online had some good things going for it, but then eventually just fell flat. But it's still there, I think. Still, you can play it. The Mutant Chronicles games on Super Nintendo is actually not bad, but it has some problems. Like, it starts out really strong, but then there's a jumping section where you have to jump from a raft to raft, and you have to first kill the zombie dudes who are shooting at you. You have to kill them while on the raft, and you have to jump on them. And then there's at the third raft, it doesn't appear until you jump up towards it and you come back, which is kind of weird. It's dangerous because you can very easily fall off. And then you have to shoot the other guy and jump on it, which I think is way too hard in the beginning. Very poor design choice. And it gets very tough, but, you know, I guess for a game like that it would make sense. I'm not sure if there's two-player option. I think it would be cool if there would be. I don't know. I'm tired. It's been a long day. It's Mutant Chronicles for Super Nintendo. I've read up that there was a real-time strategy game in development. I'm really sad it wasn't released. It wasn't released, and it's basically vaporware. And, too bad. I would have really liked to play it, because that's a game... That's a game that would really work as a role, as a strategy game, you know. Also, talking about movies, the new Judge Dredd movie, which is just called Dredd 3D. I don't know about this whole 3D ending for movies. It just kind of cheapens the movie, I think. But oh well. I guess they want to sell 3D tickets. The new trailer to Dredd looks really cool. Carl Urban is Dredd, and they've promised to the fans that it would be closer, it would be darker and grittier. You see, Judge Dredd is one of those comic books that should be darker and grittier. This is where it makes sense, you know. Not like Superman or shit, but Judge Dredd is a comic book. It should be dark and gritty, you know, and his helmet looks appropriate, you know, they really made it work. Some people said it's too big and stuff, and I think, no, it's just like Judge Dredd. I mean, have you ever read Judge Dredd, you know? And you know how they changed the helmet from the Stallone vehicle. Now, I enjoyed the first Judge Dredd movie because it got me into Judge Dredd. And I haven't read that many comics, but I will more. But the ones I read are really cool. There has also been a shooter for Judge Dredd, which I did enjoy. But to be honest, it's more or less a vanilla shooter that is not really that great. But the cool thing is you're playing Judge Dredd, and you can arrest people. You will get more points from the end of the level if you arrest people and shit like that. But anyway, the trailer looks good. Some people said it's like, oh, you're ripping off the storyline of The Raid, because apparently he has to, like, fight itself way up in a big skyscraper in the huge Mega City 1. He has to fight himself up there and to fight on the very top this drug. The drug dealing chick or something. They've promised to the fans another thing, not just that it's going to be grittier and it's going to be more like the comic, that he's not going to remove his helmet, something that happened early on in the first Judge Dredd movie with Stallone, which makes sense because the so-called FaceTime. One of the big issues that a lot of people had with that movie, I think the movie would have done better if his helmet wouldn't have been removed. I personally, as I said again, I enjoy it as a Stallone as Judge Dredd, like as a 80s, 90s style action movie that is kind of Judge Dreddish. You know, I can enjoy it like that. But as a pure Judge Dredd movie, of course, it's not good. But anyway, it looks good. I'm waiting to see how it's going to be. I'm really excited. This is a movie I'm excited for. This is a good thing that they rebooted. I heard that the Conan reboot wasn't good, and I'm sad for that because I haven't seen it yet. I really wanted to, but I didn't have a chance, sadly. I'll get it on DVD. I hear I didn't miss much. It wasn't so good. But oh well. I'll still watch it, and I'll tell you my opinion. Speaking of cops in the future, they're also doing a reboot of RoboCop, and I've seen some of the design artwork, like where they're designing the characters and stuff. Number one, I don't think RoboCop should be rebooted. I think RoboCop is a movie in itself that is really good, and I enjoyed the second one a lot. Yeah, the third one sucked, and the live-action series sucked. The miniseries wasn't bad, the one with Prime Directives, because it was more like the first two movies. The cartoon was okay, but comic books, the new RoboCop comic books for Dynamite, I heard, are really good. I really gotta read those. Once I have some money, I'm gonna get those. But they basically have some... what is it? Film... How do you call that? When they design for a movie stuff, you know. And a lot of the stuff that they design and they draw for the movies, you know, concept art, there we go. A lot of the concept art is not used in a movie. But I'm not sure if they won't use it, because basically they were showing RoboCop's armor and his look, and I didn't like it. He looked like some kind of weird, I don't know, like almost a stormtrooper, like almost like a Tron dude, like a Tron guard. I didn't like that. Then there was another one where his helmet looked more like RoboCop, but then his visor part was like red, and I'm like, what the fuck, is he Cyclops? I don't know, it could be very different still, it usually is. I remember when I seen the first concept art for Spider-Man, the first movie, it was very different from what it became, and I'm happy because it wasn't really so good. And a lot of times they do release concept art to, I'm guessing, to see the reaction of the people, and then they judge, okay, we're going to use that. And RoboCop right now is not yet being filmed. It's still in pre-production, even though they have the director, they have the actors. I think they even have a time when they want to start filming. It's being pushed for production pretty fast, but I'm kind of like, what do you think? Do you think there should be a RoboCop movie? Do you think, I mean, it's gonna happen, pretty much. Yeah, I say until the movie's actually movie theaters. Until then, it doesn't happen, but right now, there's nothing standing in its way. I personally think, do we need another RoboCop? If you want to do a cyborg story, a cyberpunk story, make a separate cyberpunk story with a different cyborg, you know. There's, I'm sure, a lot of cyberpunk books that haven't been made to movies yet, and not just the Philip K. Dick ones. You know, I really don't understand why you have to just remake. I'm guessing because it's just cheaper to remake because you already own the rights to the character. And, well, they want to reboot it, I think. I'm guessing. There's a slight difference. Because they're going to change stuff and they're going to make it darker and grittier. And I'm like, fucking RoboCop was already dark and gritty. But what's cool about RoboCop is that it had a good sense of humor. and that it was more or less a satire of the American style action movie and American style life. In many ways, that Swedish director was flipping off Americans, but the same way Americans ate that shit up, and I ate that shit up. It's like, in one way, it's one of the best sci-fi action movies ever, and in another way, it's a great social commentary on America in general, about corporationism and about how violence is king. And the second one was a nice sequel. I mean, yeah, the social parts were not as strong, but a lot of people say, oh, the second was so bad. I'm like, fuck you, the second one is great. As much as I like the dude from that 70s show as the villain, what is it, Red? From, yeah, you know Red. I don't know the actor's name, I don't care. But he was the villain, and he was a cool villain too. And you had also the walking robots, but all he did is just he takes the big... There's a scene where they shoot out RoboCop, and then there's another scene later on where he just takes this big... rifle that is like basically has the power of a tank and just shoots the walking robot, and that's it. But with RoboCop 2, he has actually a villain who is on par with him or even superior, which is RoboCop 2, which is Kane. In the first part of the movie, he fights Kane, who is a ruthless drug dealer. And yeah, he's Kane. I mean, there's so many villains in movies and games where it's Kane. Because, you know, like in the Bible. And it's kind of funny because he's also bald. I mean, not completely bald. And he has kind of a mustache and goatee. He kind of reminds me of the Kane from Common and Conquer games. So, if really wanted to, you could, like, put a... you could draw a connection. Well, not really, but whatever. And this Kane guy, he makes a new drug called Nuke. And it's a very addicting, very destructive, and it makes a lot of money for them. And it's basically, even as bad as Detroit, that version of Detroit was, Detroit gets even worse. And, you know, they were talking about the cops going to strike because, you know, OCP is paying them and stuff, and their pay is being cut, and it's been lowered and whatever, and... In the second one, they do strike because OCP has a plan. Their plan is to basically bankrupt, take the money away, to pay away, not pay the cops anymore, and the cops have to strike. Well, they strike, right? And it's crazy because they want that Detroit goes into cows and basically destroys themselves so they can... more or less renovate all of Detroit with their new town, Delta City. Which is a plot point which is used in later RoboCop sequels. Especially the, what is it, the Prime Directives miniseries, which I did enjoy. I mean, it's a TV miniseries, so you cannot go in there expecting RoboCop 1 or 2. You know, for... It plays 10 years after the first RoboCop. And basically, Delta City is a reality, you know. And but that's Prime Directive, so I'm not gonna go into that one. But it's not a bad miniseries, you know. I mean, it's something, you know. It's not RoboCop 3, that's for sure. But anyway, the new arm of RoboCop, I don't like it. Anyway. Basically, with RoboCop 2, I want to say, you know, Kane, he defeats Kane, Kane dies, they save his brain, and then there's this crazy girlfriend of the OCP boss, and she is completely insane, more or less. She's like a psychologist. And they try to make a new RoboCop, because they want to have a new RoboCop for their Delta City. And they are not having any success, and it's actually pretty funny. They try with 3 times, and all 3 times fail. And then they make a new RoboCop, the new robot armor, and she has the idea to get a madman, a psycho killer, you know. And, you know, it just happens. Kane dies, and she takes his brain and puts him into the robot body. And her plan is, in order to control him, is with Nuke, you know? Because she's able with the budget and the financial background and the unscrupulousness of OCP to make enough Nuke to get him satisfied and control him. Of course, Kane is way too smart, outsmarts them, destroys the control, and goes rampant and starts destroying everything. And then RoboCop comes in, even though they say, you are old, you are, you know, you are superfluous, you know, you are... Here's the next RoboCop, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's great. And the RoboCop then uses the same kind of rifle he did for in the first one, the big artillery rifle. And he starts fighting against RoboCop. And it's one of the best robot or cyborg fights, to be exact, I've ever seen, other than Terminator 2. Or, you know, it's like robot-on-robot fight. Terminator 2 is great, but for the most part, it's like they look like humans. Here, it's definitely robots. I mean, you have the great special effect of RoboCop and his just big metal suit, and then you have this huge freaking mechanical monster, which is RoboCop 2, with the giant minigun, rocket launcher, the four arms. He's just insane. As a kid, I loved that one. I always imagined that on the very end, RoboCop takes out his brain and destroys it. Yes, I'm spoiling the movie. If you haven't seen it yet, you really should. It has been out, it's like, oh, what, 20 years? You haven't seen it yet? It's on Netflix for Americans. For other people, you should pretty much... You shouldn't have any problems finding it on DVD or on your local distro. RoboCop 2 is a great movie, and the first two RoboCop movies are the best, and I really don't see how a reboot can add to that. The only thing I would have liked to see is RoboCop versus Terminator, which they made in comic book form and also in video game form. And they considered making a movie version, but then they said, well, nobody cares about those characters. I was like, what the fuck? You released that, it would have been great. You know, you made Alien versus Predator, you made Freddy versus Jason. Why not make RoboCop versus Terminator, you know? I mean, the Terminator franchise is not going anywhere, you know? I mean, the last one kind of sucked. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that great either. I mean, because it didn't end it like it was supposed to. It was supposed to be the last Terminator movie, you know? This was the one where, in the end, they send back the robots to defend Sarah Connor, you know? But it didn't happen. It was just the first part, because they still are insisting on making another one, which might not happen. So you don't have a true... It would have been cool, because then you could, like, watch the movies in a circle, kind of like you watched the last movie, and the last movie starts, kind of, with the first movie, you know, because they travel back, you know, and it's like Planet of the Apes, you know. Planet of the Apes happened because they traveled back in time. I'm not talking about the new one. The new one is different. It's its own thing. It's really, really good, and I like it a lot, but it's its own thing, you know. But the original Planet of the Apes was a great, great movie, and the time travel mechanics weren't the best, but the whole time loop thing that they did was actually really cool. And although the final one was kind of a worthless, because it really didn't add it anything, it just showed the apes and the humans in the future fighting against each other. What I didn't get is how eventually the humans became savages. Was it radiation? Was it just a psychological thing? That they just went insane because they couldn't accept that monkeys were now smarter than them, or like at the same level? I don't know. I wished with the last movie they could have explained that, but oh well, whatever. Alan Moore came out of his dungeon cave of darkness in the middle of the evil woods. Yes, I like Alan Moore's work. He's a great comic book writer, but he's a crazy hermit, and he's also a very spiteful, hateful person. Jaded is not even covered, this guy. I really hated his reaction when people were saying, you know, we're gonna make a movie out of your products. I can understand why he was dissatisfied with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, even though I enjoyed the movie version, and it's definitely a guilty pleasure. But I thought the movie version was fun, you know, it was... Especially, it was one of the early waves of the comic book movies, you know, in the very early times. But I thought it was fun, because, I don't know, it sort of added a couple of characters, like Tom Sawyer and shit. I thought it was, like, kind of fun that they have Tom Sawyer as an action hero. I mean, it was already very tongue-in-cheek and stuff, and... I probably might have hated it if I would have read the original comic, but whatever. I mean, all of his big things have been made into movies. V for Vendetta, I thought was really cool. I can't understand why he was so pissed. So they put the story into America, and I was like... Or did they? I don't even remember that much, because... What I really enjoyed is the base storyline, and that still stayed intact, I'm pretty sure. Watchmen, on the other hand, I completely disagree with. He said he's going to take out his name out of the movie, and they did. And he said, I'm going to spit venom all over this movie. What kind of a douchebag, you know, like, you have Zack Snyder, and I don't like Zack. I can understand why. Zack Snyder is the typical douchebag director, but on the other hand, Zack Snyder made freaking 300. So Zack Snyder has hit and miss. I mean, what is it? He has that movie where the chick's like in imagination land in their mind, but they're in this weird insane asylum. They're all dressed like, I don't know, like schoolgirls or something, and I'm like, what the hell? I haven't even seen that one, but I'm sure if I will. But whatever. Zack Snyder did do 300, and that was awesome. And his take on Watchmen, even though not everything was perfect, he really tried hard to be really close to the comic book. To be honest, Watchmen, you know, nobody really said that. Everybody just said, oh, it wasn't a squid. It's like, it wasn't a squid. I'm like, who the fuck cares if it wasn't a squid? Really, the point was, in this point, that there was some kind of higher power that eventually, that the humans were afraid of. And because of that fear, they united and stopped their Cold War, you know, that almost destroyed them. And in the movie, they just made it Dr. Manhattan, because, like, what is it? Ozymandias is techno wizardry. Instead of creating a giant squid monster thingy that people thought it was alien, he manipulated his tachyon field or whatever. Jerry would get a kick out of that. It's kind of a Star Trek reference. Is it reversed the tachyon field? Basically, Ozymandias did the Star Trek techno babble and reversed the tachyon field. And basically used Dr. Manhattan's powers to blow up New York without Dr. Manhattan knowledge. And then he just put the blame on him. But Dr. Manhattan, it's fine, because he anyway wanted to leave Earth. Now he has even more reason to. In a way, he made that even better. Because in the comic book, he just left because he was bored with Earth. And he wanted to travel the galaxy and play God more. And, okay, that makes sense too. The other thing they changed, which I personally liked, is when they kill off Rorschach, when Dr. Manhattan kill off Rorschach, because Rorschach says, kill me because you know I won't stop until I stopped you guys. And then Dr. Manhattan blows him into smithereens. And in the movie, Night Owl gets fucking pissed and yells at Dr. Manhattan, even though he knows he can't do shit about it. But he's pissed, and he tells him, fuck you, you asshole. In the comic book, he just walks away and he doesn't care, and I'm like, what the fuck? Isn't, like, Night Owl and Rorschach to be they're like the only guys that could ever work together in that universe. Everybody else is like, I can't work with you because I don't like you for this reason or that reason. And those two are the only guys who could be who could work together as like a superhero team. So I'm like, see, that was even better in the movie. And I did enjoy the comic a lot. And yes, there was a lot of stuff left out because you have to take 12 issues and make it into a 2-hour or 2.5-hour movie, you know. Stuff is gonna miss. And that is the extra. And on the end, Alan Moore even admitted that it's the closest thing how he could imagine the movie being made. Now that fucker, that old fucker, yes, I'm gonna say it. I do have a huge respect for him, but I hate it that he's such a hateful dick, you know. He's now making a movie, and it's called Act of Fate, and it just looks weird, like some kind of... I don't even know what's the description. The association with the Creators Project, the occult Norflect pieces. Bunch of highbrowed, pompous, you know, arrogant bullshit talk. Tell me what this is. You know, it's like supposed to be a 10-minute short thing, and I don't know. It could be good. It could be great. But Alan Moore was like hating on movies and on movie makers so much that I cannot wish him. I cannot wish him like goodwill on this. Because he should feel the other end of the stick, you know. You know, he thinks he's the biggest genius ever. He made some really good comic books, yes, but so did other people, and they weren't so arrogant. And yes, some of the adaptions weren't so great, but at least Watchmen and V for Vendetta were really good, and he still got money out of it. So now I'm guessing he's doing that because he's thinking, you know, there's not enough money in comic books, or he's just bored. And, I don't know. People, big Moore fans, if you're gonna hate me, then hate me, but I'm not even hating on him that much. I'm more hating on the fact what kind of douchebag he is, and I'm not wishing him well on this, you know. Even if this is a good movie, you know, and even if it turns out to be good, I'm feeling like he should feel how it is to be, criticized even before the movie comes out, you know. Because Zack Snyder didn't do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He didn't deserve that kind of... I'm going to spit venom onto the movie. What is this kind of talk, you know? He's going to say, I didn't want the movie to be made about the comic book, but I'm going to give it maybe a try. Who knows, maybe it's good. That's what he could say, you know. And if it's not good, I didn't like it, I'm going to distance myself from it. That's what you say, you know, as a grown-up. And then he's a crazy hermit guy who looks like freaking Saruman, so what the fuck, so who cares? He's never gonna listen to this, and if you're like a big fanboy of his, then oh well, write me in and hate on me. I don't care. What is still to talk about? Apparently, the Metal Men, or Magnus, you know, Magnus's Metal Men, this obscure DC comic book about this dude who makes these robots or cyborgs and from different metals, like even a gold one, which, like, I don't know. I only know them from the Amalgam universe when they combined him with Magneto, and it was Magneto and the Metal Men. Other than that, I know that they exist. I have never read an issue of them. Apparently, there's a movie gonna be made, and Jerry Sonnenfeld, the guy who made Man in Black, he's gonna make that, and I'm like, this could be really good, and since it's a smaller, you know, comic book, it might be a better movie, just because there's not so much expectations, and the director might have more free reign. On the other hand, DC Warner, I'm like, why the hell are you even... Why the Metal Men? You know, why not Shazam or something? Why not Lobo? Why not Why not? What did one of the guys said? And there was a guy, one of the commenters. This is from Superhero Hype, by the way. One of the commenters said, "Doom Patrol." Doom Patrol is like a superhero group, which a lot of people might confuse as X-Men ripoff, but actually they were before X-Men. And it's like the weirdest, the outsider guys, and there was even the main guy who led them was in a wheelchair, and they were just really weird. And they were in many ways very much like the X-Men, you know, especially the early X-Men. And it's just for some reason X-Men was just more popular, and Marvel just ripped that off, tagged the mutant line, and added the whole civil... what is it? The whole Malcolm X and, you know, Malcolm X is Magneto, and what is it? Martin Luther King is Professor X. It's like that kind of storyline that they both want the same thing but in different ways. You know, one wants it through force, the other one wants it through loving each other. Anyway, I'm not so interested in this. I'm like, whatever. Scratching the bottom of the barrel, DC, I guess. Who knows if this ever is going to be a movie. Also, they've been talking about the new Total Recall movie. I'm like, so Colin Farrell got a job. Great. I don't give a fuck. I like the old one with Arnie. I don't think this is going to be better. It might look better, sure. But unless there's some really interesting parts. I mean, they're saying it's closer to the original novel now. The political elements, too, are more intact. But I don't know if this is going to make it a better movie. There's also a poll on Superhero Hype if there should be another Ghost Rider movie. It's kind of funny, the possible answers. And the one of it is like, the first one, yes, but only if Nicolas Cage returns. Fuck no. Nicolas Cage has to be as far from a Ghost Rider movie as possible. He shat all over that franchise. And the directors too. And they say, yes, but Sony should reboot it completely. Okay, that's already better. And then, yes, but only the rights, but only if the rights were back to Marvel. That's what I answered. They should just let it drop, let Marvel take it, and let Marvel do it, you know. Marvel, also, they should, you know, wait a couple of years so people can lose the bad taste of the Ghost Rider movies out of their mouth, I guess. Yeah, I've been rambling on for a long time. It's 43 minutes. Yeah, I'm just gonna slap in a song, and that's the show for today. It's gonna be a shorter show for today. Nothing too much happened. Hopefully I will have a new video up soon. Maybe a Let's Play, maybe a Beast vlog. I'm not quite sure what's gonna be, but stay tuned, check out the Gaming Beast for new stuff. And yeah, this was the Gaming Beast. May the Death Mug of Doom be with you, and over and out.